Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Monday, the 11th of May. Well, it's a bank holiday. I didn't even know it was bank holiday weekend. There you go. That's what, I don't really notice them anyway, but in this strange times, it's just passed me by completely. I've sort of said that there's a lot of armchair critics of the handling of this COVID thing and that it's unprecedented. I have to admit, what a complete and utter numbnuts of this they're making. I'm not sure what stay alert means. I know obviously the stay home bit is not quite as strict as it is, but I got the stay home, protect lives, save the NHS. Stay alert, don't really know what we're going to do with that. I know we're going to get more meat on the bones later on. But it just seems to have been another sort of... It's the communication side of it, isn't it? I think you got half an idea what they're trying to say, and I know we're going to get more details, but just all the different messages. Raab saying one thing, Johnson saying one thing. Apparently others are briefing something. In an era when people just really... And you've got to use common sense. That's half the problem of this is, I've said to many people, getting out of this... it's going to be much harder than getting people to stay in. You've got to go back 8 weeks. We've got to rely on whatever, and we can blame governments all we like. We can blame anybody you like, doctors, scientists, governments. The one thing the British people never do, they never take responsibility for themselves. It is only 8 weeks ago that not a few, tens of thousands of people were emptying supermarkets. You know, everybody goes shopping at Christmas. I've never seen supermarkets looking like the Wild West had rampaged through them. It's only 8 weeks ago that was happening. And we've seen it already with abuse of going to parks and my local golf course. Apparently they kicked 10 people off one of the greens yesterday having a picnic. The staggering stupidity of the British people must never be underestimated. And trying to lift all this in amongst that, that's the hard bit. And the one thing you do need to do, and I know people are taking the piss and saying, well, you shouldn't have to be told what to do, but unfortunately there's a fair number that do. You do have to tell them what to do, and it's that's what worries me. It's the staggering stupidity of what people do over the next few weeks, because otherwise we will just be back to where we were. Interesting though, I feel a lot better today. I felt really, really bad Saturday. Didn't feel great yesterday, I feel a lot better today, but I got first-hand experience now. It was literally only 2 weeks ago, less than when the magic number needed to be hit, the 100,000 testing. Piers Morgan and the like up in arms about testing. Well, I went for a test yesterday. I was advised on Saturday to go for a test by the NHS. Incredibly simple procedure, but... what staggered me was in this, oh, we're not doing enough tests. I thought, I'm going to struggle to be able to do this. I had five locations to me. Across all those locations, there were 8,000 testing spots vacant. The one I went to had 2,500 testing spots vacant over 5 days. I could basically have picked any time I like. There were 40-odd staff there. Doing a fantastic job, it really clear cut, you know, you don't have any contact with anyone in effect other than wind your window down an inch and them to pop a test in through the window. You phone a number, they speak to you over the phone, tell you what to do. And I was talking to the girl, I said, I thought it'd be a lot busier. She said, so did we. Had 40 people on Saturday that had booked tests, didn't turn up. So again, you know, it's that mad panic, we've got to test. The testing is there. You can put numbers on the screen all you like and say he's not doing this. The testing is there. I can tell you, because I went firsthand yesterday, over 2,000 spots available at the test centre I went to. The place was like a morgue, dead. Absolutely empty. Nobody there at all, other than staff milling about, waiting for somebody to come and have a test. And it literally takes 3-4 minutes. You can book them online, I believe. Well, I booked mine online. Was given a code. I don't know what the availability is, but it wasn't overly difficult. But I'm sure there's more people who need testing, NHS staff, care home workers, whatever it is. As always, it's not being used. The country's jumping up and down. Rah, rah, rah. like we do, racking, testing, no testing. Well, the reality is that we are 2 weeks after that deadline, and I could have got one of over 8,000 testing spots down in Kent, and the one I went to had over 2,400 or something vacant spots that I could have taken my pick. So that is why you shouldn't believe all the bollocks you're told. But on that last night, I get what he was trying to say, but it just wasn't very clear, was it? And then you've got other people going, I thought he was going to be a lot clearer with a lot more detail last night. He didn't say, I'm going to make a quick statement, then I'll pad it out on Monday. I think when you've had people housed, you know, I mean, we've got to in effect for Sam, but when you've got people housed, not on that vulnerable list for 7-8 weeks who can't see family, I think you've got to expect that there's going to be a bit of a backlash, and you'd like to think that you would prepare a little bit better for that. But, you know, it's all parties. Everybody wants to jump up. The bit that does me in is the party political side of it. This is not a party political issue. This is something where everybody's got to come together and try and get through it. But it's just given that dividing line. I can't stand... you know, running the country by slogans, you know, Brexit means Brexit, get Brexit done, stay home, stay alert. I just think it's not the way to run things. It sort of shows, and interesting, and I lead into that book again that I mentioned the other day, Can We Have Our Football Back? I had a couple of great emails from people about football back before the Premier League, which in essence, the book really does rip the grossness of the Premier League apart. But in there's a line in that book that says how malleable our minds are. We just start to believe what we are. The Premier League is a massive propaganda machine with Sky, basically indoctrinating you that football didn't exist before that. Well, it did, and we had some fine teams. Foreign players wouldn't come and play until we had we did. We had Ozzy Ardiles, we had Muren, we had Tyson. We had, was it Golak at Southampton? It's how we're sort of brainwashed to think that the Premier League. I'm just moved completely off the NHS thing. I know off the COVID thing, but how we're just brainwashed to believe certain things, and that's what I was saying. You know, politics, football, doesn't matter. We are malleable. We just become a nation of believing what we're told. And when you read that book on the Premier League, if you're interested in football, it is a fascinating read on what basically an industry has invented itself, kept itself going, to make, once again, as most of these things, a relatively small number of people rich. And when you think what football was based on in this country, countries like, you know, towns like Sheffield, you know, it was steel workers and normal people on the Middlesbrough, where the author comes from. It was part of the community, football. I mean, I go to Tottenham now. Tottenham was founded, you know, still 200 yards from where the stadium is now. I sit in amongst tourists. You know, me and Suggsy sit there. Every game now, it's different people. It's just tourists. People who want to come and have the club just want the 80, 90 quid. And no one's got a slight bit of interest really in the football. And that goes for, you know, I don't think a lot of the players care anymore. I think they're paid so much they don't really care. I think the bloke at the top at Tottenham doesn't give a shit about the fans. I firmly believe that. I don't think he gives a shit about whether we win, lose or whatever. It's how much money he can make. And I think, unfortunately, that's the way it's going. And then, you know, what I talked to Brian about last week, you look at the sort of ethics of some of the people who are owning these clubs now. The whole thing's a shit fest. I've not missed it in one slightest bit, as I said, other than punting. The football, the Premier League is an absolute shit fest. It really is. You go to Germany and watch the football there and see how the clubs are set up compared to what we are. But you read that book, that it is absolutely fascinating read on the Premier League. When you start, you know, this is a guy who's gone and looked up the numbers and the things that we're told. And it's absolutely staggering. It's absolutely staggering. And how they cover it up and doctor the numbers so that you don't actually know. You know, the viewing figures and things for these things. You just assume that it's this massive global monster because that's what you're told. But it's not. It's just lying in a few people's pockets, almost preventing a myth. And it will. I mean, this may bring it down. I don't know. Oh, I've got Winston attacking me again. It's interesting to see. But sort of the same thing. It's that, you know, there's too many people just believe in what they're told. And that yesterday with the testing, you know, I was expecting queuing cars and traffic and, you know, we're at capacity. Everybody wanted, must be loads of people want testing because they're on Twitter moaning about the numbers. So everybody must want one. And I could have basically strolled up there any time of day. Anyway, where am I? Let's move on. We're getting closer to Germany coming back. I'm gonna run the process today, just check everything works because we're looking to add a few bits. As I said, I don't know when I'm gonna release them before this season's out. I might give people a preview. I'm trying to get a lot more into some predictive stuff for you. You know, rather than they've scored four times in the last five, actually trying to help you predict using ratings. I've spoke to a lot of people about models, you know, over this last few weeks and trying to actually have some logic to what you're doing. And we're making some big changes to Ultimate, huge changes, in fact, stuff we're adding. The one thing that we will maintain as much as possible is the layout so that people who've got their current stuff don't change. You know, in effect, we'll add stuff on the end, but I'm going to try and I've got another meeting about that today, and then I'll try and get something out perhaps when we run it Friday just for people to look at and comment on. If not this week, then the week after in the German games. But certainly, you know, that's the way you want to be trying to predict. That's what we're trying to do ultimately, isn't it? We're trying to predict what's going to happen as opposed to just tell people what has happened. I think that's the nature. Right, which gives me a thing where my odds have had value in the Bundesliga and home teams are green. Home teams priced between 1.5 and 3, where my odds have given value. So the FTS odds in column J have given value, and the home team is green on the form analysis. 33 points profit in 207 bets. So for those of you getting into Bundesliga this week on the ultimate sheet, just another thing to look at. So Bundesliga, home team between 1.5 and 3, where the FTS odds are value and form analysis comes up on the traffic light green. 33 points in 207 bets, or 38 points laying away. But obviously, you've got bigger liabilities. 19 points laying the draw. There you go. So that's it. That is the stat of the day. Don't forget that tomorrow we have our free football simulator starting. I know a good number of you have registered. If you would register and share it, ftsincome.co.uk/free-betting-simulator/introduction. There's a little introduction video. The play button's in the middle of our fantasy football logo. Basically, there's 5 years of data there. You can download it, study it, and then we've got 38 days of fixtures running consecutively from tomorrow. Almost Trump-like then. And you can place your bets on match odds, both teams to score, the overs markets, all back bets from a mythical 1,000-point bank. And we'll run a leaderboard. Got to play 20 days out of the 38. Got to have 50 bets minimum. And whoever wins that and shows the profit, biggest profit at the end, will be get a free membership to Ultimate. But just a bit of fun and something to get us back into the football field, the days in between Belarus and Germany. But please do share it. Guys put a lot of work into it. So we'd like to get as many people playing as we possibly can. Matches go down at 9 o'clock every night, so you've got to have done it by 9 every evening. Right, what else have I got? Book of the day. Book of the day. So I've been talking to modelling and maths and people. Maths to people about maths. Flipping it. I don't know about COVID. I'm having trouble talking. Statistics Without Tears is a good book. An introduction for non-mathematicians. Statistics Without Tears. This is Derek Rowntree. And it starts to explain some of the sort of terms that people maybe not like. I think, again, I come back to people think football's easy. people, you know, this, oh, I can pick it up, and I know I keep saying it, oh, they scored 4 out of 5. No relevance to who the opponents were, what team was playing, what price it was. None of that seems to matter. So then when you say to people, actually, you need to try and model and be a bit more predictive in what you're going on, then you get sort of that fear factor. So Statistics Without Tears is a book for non-mathematicians. It doesn't have to be that difficult. I did do maths at A level, but you know, it doesn't mean that you can't do anything. It's just another way of trying to educate yourself a little bit. So funnily enough, the guy for the statistics book I did the other day, he's the guy that's been on the news. I think he was on Andrew Marr yesterday, Spiegelhalter from Cambridge. But this is a good book as well for those of you who maybe got a bit more fear about statistics and some of the terminology and regression and stuff like that. So Statistics Without Tears by Derek Rowntree. I've done the stat of the day. What else have we got? I've not had any jokes from anybody. Not that I'm minding, actually, because they were flipping dreadful. And we've got, we've got a recipe. Yes, spicy sausage. This is good, this. Spicy sausage noodles. Really easy. Literally 15 minutes if you want a quick meal. Really, really simple, this. You can get to serve a couple of people. You want 2 or 3 decent sausages. And just cut the skins, get the sausage meat out. Mix it with a clove of garlic, a tablespoon of grated ginger. Get a red chilli, chop it up. Ditch the seeds if you don't want it too hot. Mix the garlic, the ginger and the chilli in with the sausage meat. And then fry that in some sesame oil. Just gives it a nicer flavour, sesame oil. If you haven't got that, use olive oil. But sesame oil's got that sort of toasted flavour to it. Flipping it. I am struggling to talk this morning. What is the matter with me? God almighty. Easy for you to say. Fry the sausage meat and the garlic, ginger and chilli in sesame oil for a couple of minutes until the sausage meat is starting to brown. And then add in a packet of green beans. Just get, you know, the fresh green beans. Just top and tail them. Cut them in half. Fry those for a couple of minutes with the sausage meat. Get some, just want a packet of, you know, the straight to wok noodles, lob those in with some soy sauce, fry it all again for another minute, couple of minutes, whatever the instructions on the packet of noodles are, and serve that with some more soy sauce, a bit of coriander on top, some sesame seeds, and there you have spicy sausage noodles. Flipping lovely, literally takes 5-10 minutes. So if you're going back to work and in a rush, there's no excuse. You do not need to buy that ready meal shit. Stuff like this, easy, healthy, you know, relatively healthy, takes no time at all to cook. Right, that's that bit done. Done the recipe, done the book, done the stat of the day, talked about my test. I don't think I have got it. I haven't got the results, but I feel a lot, lot better today. I felt absolutely dreadful Saturday, and I was panicking. Just oh, there he goes, coughing. See, coughing on cue. Obviously, for me, it's just finding out that making sure that Sam was okay. So, right, crack yourselves on, and yeah, we'll be a bit closer to the football. I'll have a bit more German stuff tomorrow. And further updates, but please do join the fantasy football. And it is planned to have a poker tournament this Friday. It may well be the last one, depending on what football's coming back. But we're going to be doing a poker on Friday, so I'll set that up over the next couple of days. Have a great bank holiday. As I say, watch what unfolds. If you tend to find, I've ignored the news. If you ignore the news, life is a lot better. Because it really is a load of bollocks that gets spoken. And if you ignore Twitter, it's even better then, because there's even more bollocks spoken, as people cannot put their party alignments to one side, which is just madness, absolute fucking madness. You know, some things are more important than that. As I say, when you've got people going to... people can't attend funerals, And then other people think, well, I'll just have a little political spat. I don't know where you get the energy to do it, to be honest. A load of old bollocks. Anyway, have a lovely, lovely little bank holiday with your family if you're at home with them, by FaceTime or house party if not. And we'll find out a bit more later. And by Wednesday, hopefully those of you who haven't seen relatives for a long time, that will start to ease and you can see it. Because to me, I think that is the start of all this, is to get people seeing their family, grandparents, seeing grandkids, and people like Suggsy, who's had his dad in hospital, being able to go down and see his dad. I think stuff like that is where this all starts to unlock, and then obviously businesses and things with some sort of social distancing. But as I keep saying to you, dig in there, we will get there. We will get there. Right, have a lovely Monday. And I will be back with you. I haven't sung for a while, have I? That's old. She came on the old pod and ruined it. I'll get some singing back this week. I know that brightens you all up in lockdown. Right, have a good Monday, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning.